this evening, and shall we turn now to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 15. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. Matthew 15 and verse 1. Then came Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, Honour thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whatsoever shall say to his father or to his mother, it is a gift. By whatever thou mightest be profited by me, and honour not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth near unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of his mouth, of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then Peter answered and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. One verse in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. May God bless the reading of his word. where I have been looking recently at the subject of the Pharisees, and I find there are 9 occasions, and there may be more, but I find 9 occasions in the book of Matthew when these men come and speak to the Lord Jesus. They speak to him and they criticize him for his condescension, the fact that he eats and drinks with men they call sinners. And the Lord reminds them that he is one who has come to bring mercy rather than the outward tradition of sacrifice. And then there's another occasion when they're passing through the cornfield on the Sabbath day, and his disciples pluck the head of the corn and eat it. And they criticize the disciples, and they, by inference, the Lord Jesus, for allowing them to do that on the Sabbath day. And the Lord Jesus has to point out that firstly, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. It was a day of rest given by God in his goodness to men, so that they might have rest from their labours. And he points out that God in his wisdom had allowed that they should take, they could refresh themselves in that way. And the Lord Jesus goes on, and you'll remember in chapter 12 of the book of Matthew, he heals that man on the Sabbath day. And the scripture says that they took counsel to destroy the Lord Jesus. Now, we can't go through the whole book of Matthew this evening, but these are just 3 earlier occasions when the Pharisees came and challenged the Lord Jesus. But in tonight's passage, we are not reading of the Pharisees who lived in the area of Galilee, the local Pharisees as it were. We are reading of men who had come specially down from Jerusalem to challenge the teaching and to challenge the authority of the Lord Jesus. Now you may wonder, who is a Pharisee? What is a Pharisee? And I'm sure we remember that in our Sunday school days we were taught that Pharisee meant far is he. There are people who had grown up as a tradition, and they claimed to be loyal to God. They claimed that they had separated from all worldly and earthly things and were separated to God. And so it is surprising that these very same men, those men who thought that they were so pious, were so opposed to the person and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then tonight, the passage we're looking at tonight, the Pharisees come and they say, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? And many have wondered at what is this tradition, and they think, and many have thought, well, where do we find that in the scriptures? And we find a little bit more about these traditions in the account in Mark's gospel, when in Mark chapter 7 it adds that they also included the washing of pots and of dishes and of vessels. But to answer the question, where do we find that in the Word of God? Well, the answer is simple, that we don't. You see, these Pharisees had taken the law of God. They had taken the very spoken word of God, things that God had given to Israel. God had revealed to men that they should follow, and they had built upon it, and they had built upon it, and they had built upon it. And now they were no longer following the word of God, but they were following a tradition of their own. They were following their own ideas and their own traditions of men. That is a solemn thought tonight, that we could, that we might think that we are serving God. We might think we are doing things that are pleasing to God, and yet we're following a tradition that has been handed down by men and is not of God at all. And the Lord Jesus answers them not by getting into details of washings and that type of thing, but he points out that their traditions, which he is accused of transgressing, their traditions included the methods and techniques whereby they were really setting aside the Word of God and the teaching of the Scripture. In other words, they were breaking the law. They were lawbreakers. They were sinners. He points out to them that God had given a commandment, and I'm sure again this is one that we've all known from Sunday school days: honour your father and your mother. It is described in Scripture as the first commandment with Thomas, because God went on to say that thy days may be long upon the earth. God had laid down these commandments, and men in the religious tradition had found schemes more clever than all the financiers of today, more clever than all the lawyers and the politicians of our time. They had found ways to set aside the Word of God. And they were able to say that instead of helping their father and their mother, they could say, it's a gift. It's devoted to the temple. It didn't mean that they actually gave anything to the temple. It simply meant this, that they could escape their duty. They could escape doing what God would wish them to do. So the Lord Jesus brings them to that point where he has demonstrated that their commandments and their traditions were really an attempt and a successful one at that, to set aside the Word of God. The Lord Jesus answers them further by reminding them of the Scripture given by Isaiah: this people draweth near unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, God isn't interested so much in our outward appearance of religion. He's not interested so much in what we appear to other people. We may appear to be good, respectable, religious people, and yet our heart could be wrong before God. This people honoureth me with their lips. Yes, I'm sure you'd hear them day by day, week by week, taking the name of God and apparently blessing it and apparently praising God. And yet within, they had set aside, yet within, their hearts were not right with God. Solemn these words in verse 9 of the chapter. Solemn are these words: in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We live in a day, and maybe few people in our day profess to be religious, but we live in a day of great high-mindedness. We live in a day when men still have their principles. We're not living in a day when men are necessarily immoral, but they have their principles. They may not be centred on the Bible. They may not be centred on Christ, but they have their principles. And you'll find that they will be very quick to tell you, I don't do this and I won't do that. And it may be they have political principles, and they may be, let's not be a bit biased, they may be free markets, they may be socialists, or perhaps environmentalists. And all these things in our time, they are in a sense a moral philosophy without God. And they're just really like the Pharisees, their traditions, they're the thoughts of men. They're man's idea on how, on the right thing to do. And yet, in all these things, God is not in their thoughts. They leave God out of their ideas and their teachings and their principles. The Lord Jesus goes on to press the point by explaining that it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. That's not what makes someone unclean. You see, the Pharisees had a tradition, and I believe that they had this idea that there was demons or something that could contaminate you when you were walking in the marketplace, and when you got home you had to wash it off before you ate, otherwise you'd be eating something that was contaminated. But the Lord Jesus is saying that's not really what contaminates you. And he's taking this to a different level. He's not saying that we should be dirty in our ways. He's not saying that we should be unhygienic. He's not saying that we should, as it were, come into the house and eat our food with mud on our hands. He's not teaching that. But what he's saying is this, that washing of the hands, that little ceremony that the Pharisees would perform, which they thought made them pure, which they thought made them right before God, was of no effect, because it wasn't what they ate, and it wasn't what they drank, and it wasn't whether they had washed their hands before they ate or drank that defiled them before God. Nothing that they took into the mouth, it was the things which came out. And we'll see later as we go down the passage that the Lord Jesus explains what he meant by the things that come out of the mouth. You see, what we say is very much a representation. It tells us what sort of people we are, because the things that we say tell us the sort of person that you are. If you're a person who never said anything good about anybody, then that tells us that you've got a critical spirit, that you've got a spirit that's not very nice inside. Maybe you're someone and you can never quite tell things as they are. There's always a twist to what you say. It tells us, you know, there's maybe just something slightly twisted in your nature. That's what the Lord Jesus was saying to these Pharisees. It's not what they ate, but rather their thoughts and what they said and what they were in themselves. And of course these things, not surprisingly, to men of great religion, to men who had travelled from Jerusalem to hear the Lord Jesus speak, these things were naturally an offence. Naturally, they were something which made them uncomfortable, made them angry, that made them annoyed with the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus does not compromise with sinners. The Lord Jesus does not compromise with men. He didn't come to flatter men. He didn't come to tell people, well, you're all right when you're not. The Lord Jesus gave a solemn warning. That he says in verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And just as the heart is the most critical part of you and I, our heart is what keeps us going, our heart is what we are in us. Well, a plant, the root is the most critical thing You see, without a root, it doesn't matter whether you've got branches or stems or leaves or flowers. Without a root, a plant will die. And what the Lord Jesus was saying is, to these Pharisees, be careful. You're trusting in a plant that has been rooted. And it is rooted in a tradition. But it has to be rooted in God. If the thing, if what you're basing your life on is not something which is rooted in the Word of God, it is not rooted in the teaching of God or in the commandment, then God Himself is going to remove it. It won't stand in the day when God tests and tries each heart. And He gives a further warning to those who are following. He says, be careful who you follow. You know, who we follow can be important. You know, when we were at school, we were always warned not to get into bad company. You see, those we follow can take us to places where we wouldn't want to be. And he says of the Pharisees, to the crowd, about the Pharisees, that if they follow those who are blind, then they too, not only will those who are blind not see where they're going, and those who are blind, it's a great handicap, those who are blind, often they have accidents that you and I wouldn't have, but those who are blind, they can fall off the road. And the Lord Jesus is warning that if we want to go to heaven, if we want to get into God's fair eternity, then we must not follow those that are blind. I don't know, perhaps the Lord Jesus was a little disappointed by the question that Peter asks. Peter asks, tell us what the parable means. Sometimes those who teach can get a disappointment when their pupils haven't got the lesson. And the Lord Jesus has to explain to Peter that he's not speaking, when he's saying about things going into the mouth, he's not speaking of ordinary food. Because our ordinary food just really passes through us. It never really enters in. And he's saying to them that those things that make a man unfit for heaven are the things which come from within. He says in verse 15, from out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. The Lord Jesus is telling us that what we say is really an expression of what we are. And he was saying of these Pharisees, you may think that you're right with God. And later he tells another parable about them, and he speaks about those who take a cup and they just wash it on the outside and forget to wash the inside of the cup. And he says, the Pharisees are like that. You know, outwardly, to those looking at this cup, it looks as though it's clean. But if you were to drink from it, it's all dirty inside. And he's saying of the Pharisees, you're exactly like that. You may look to men as though you're religious, as though you're righteous, as though you're holy. But if your heart has never been cleansed from within, if the cup has never been made clean on the inside, imagine if you're sitting down to eat a meal and the outside of the plate looked nice and the inside had the decaying remains of the last meal, you really wouldn't want to eat it. And that's what sin is like in our lives. Sin is that thing which defiles the heart. When Adam sinned, he became a sinner. He got this sinful nature. You and I have a heart that is prone to to sin. You and I have a heart from which, if we listened to every thought of it, it would make us want always to do something sinful. Of course, it could be said that that list of things, well, no one would necessarily have done everything that the Lord Jesus mentioned that comes from the heart. You'd be a monster of iniquity if you had. But you know, just one thing on that list is enough to make you a sinner, is enough to make you unfit for heaven. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. You may say, that's very hard. You know, just that thought of doing something wrong, that in itself is a sin. Just that thought of maybe not being completely honest with someone, that little thought of pride, that little thought of that hard thought about someone else, that unkind thought that may pass into your mind, that in itself is sin. That is enough to keep you out of heaven. The Lord Jesus said, was teaching them that what they really needed was to have their heart cleansed and made righteous. We read that scripture in 1 John, and I'll remind you of what we read at the beginning. It says this, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. John later says that if our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our heart. But tonight the most important thing is, has your heart been cleansed? It needs to be made clean if you are to get to heaven. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be made clean? Well, really, what it means is this. You need to be given a new nature. You need to be given a new life. You need to be given eternal life. And the Lord Jesus is the one who can give that to you tonight. It says here, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from sin. The blood, that's speaking about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, the Bible says, he was made sin. That is to say, he was made an offering for sin. He was made sin for us. The one who didn't sin, the one who didn't know anything about sin, he was made sin that we might be made right, the righteousness of God in him. The blood of Jesus Christ, that is speaking about the fact that when the Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross, he was being punished for your sin. He was being punished for those things that make you that sinner that you are, that wicked heart, those sinful thoughts, those sinful desires, all those things which maybe only God knows about. But he was being punished in order that you might be made clean. Tonight you can have a new heart, you can have a new life, you can have a new start with God, you can know your sins forgiven by coming to the Lord Jesus and confessing that you are, as he has described you, one who has a filthy, sinful heart, and ask him to take away your sins. Ask him to forgive you and accept that when he died on the cross, he bore your punishment there upon that cross. Tonight, you can be saved. You can be made right with God by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we bow before thee and we give thee thanks that the Lord Jesus came to this scene of sin and shame, Now, Father, you think of the patience with which he spoke to those men who questioned him. And we think of how he explained to them that they needed to have their heart made clean. For Father, we thank thee for each one in this room who can look back to a time when they became a believer, when they accepted the work of the Lord Jesus and had their sins forgiven. Now, Father, we ask that each one of us might examine ourselves and see whether we are saved or not. Now, Father, we remember thy word as it goes forth throughout our land and pray that the Lord Jesus might see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. We ask these things, returning our thanks in our Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. I wonder if we could close with the words of hymn number 126. The love that Jesus had for me to suffer on the cruelty that I, a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. Hymn number 126.